Today on More to Life, choosing the abundant life. Feeling frustrated? We'll help you overcome the obstacles between you and the abundant life and fulfilling relationships God wants for you. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, choosing the abundant life. Are you feeling frustrated in some area of your life or relationships? We want to help you overcome the obstacles that stand between you and the abundant life and relationship God wants for you. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. There's a lot to unpack in that sentence.
I was going to say there's an awful lot to unpack in that sentence, including the fact that God wants an abundant life for us. That can be interpreted a lot of different ways.
Well, so let me lay out my cards here. So first of all, God is our Father.
Mm-hmm.
And what father does not want his children to have a good life and loving relationships? And if we, as Jesus puts it, as if we who are evil can want
yes.
good things for our children, how much more can our Heavenly Father want those good things for us?
Exactly. You know, that's one of the first things I wanted to make sure we clarified was that we are, if you're saying, hey, you don't know my dad, that's not the case. God the Father is not broken, is not damaged, is not dealing with their own wounds. So, or his own wounds, excuse me. So the way our fathers often are. So we have to take that interpretation of fatherhood off of God's shoulders, because he's not a broken man walking around on earth trying to get over their sin or rejecting the healing offered to him.
The second thing I want to clarify is what does an abundant life mean?
Yes.
Because, you know, is God going to let all of us win the lottery? Well, no.
This is not prosperity gospel kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, this is not that or what's the other, manifesting or any of this nonsense, right? What this is about, what the abundant life is about, and we'll talk more about this as we talk about our theology of the body reflection, both our Judeo-Christian heritage and good psychology show that living a truly fulfilling life comes down to the pursuit of three qualities. And we talk about this on the show pretty regularly. Meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. The more we pursue meaningfulness, meaning recognizing my ability to use my gifts to make a positive difference in my life and the lives of those around me. Intimacy, meaning that I'm working hard to make my relationship stronger and deeper and healthier. And virtue, meaning that I look at whatever challenges or really good things, bad things that happen in my life as an opportunity to grow and become a stronger, healthier person. When I have that orientation toward pursuing meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, I live a more abundant life. And sometimes that might involve going through hardships. Sometimes that might involve dealing with different struggles or challenges. But if I'm pursuing meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in the face of those challenges, in my relationships, in my work, in my life in general, then I feel fulfilled. And that's the life that God, our Father, wants for us. And so, you know, we want to talk to you today about how to pursue that abundant life, how to choose that abundant life instead of settling, instead of letting your frustrations define what your life is supposed to be. So we're asking you, call up 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you feeling frustrated? you know, who or what is getting in the way of the abundant life or relationships you'd like to have? Do you ever think, if only I could get past this hurdle, or if only I could get them to listen? We want to help you discover grace-filled ways to overcome the challenges stopping you from experiencing the more abundant life and more fulfilling marriage, family, or other relationships that God desires for you.
And you know, Greg, you were talking about when we live a life of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, we feel fulfilled. The wonderful thing about that is that it doesn't require you to have the perfect job yet. It doesn't require you to even have the perfect health yet. It doesn't require you to have the perfectly clean, spotless house yet. It doesn't require any of those things. It doesn't even require that you aim toward, you know, that kind of thing necessarily. When we have meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue-based lives, we can feel abundant in every situation because we know who we are. We're connected to God. We're connected to others. We're connected to our very best selves. And that is truly an abundant life. But there's a lot of stuff that can make us feel like that's not happening. And if you're dealing with those people who are running you down, you're dealing with those relationships that feel less than intimate, you feel like there are certain virtues that just keep escaping you and you don't know what to do about it, you're feeling like maybe you don't know what the meaning you're supposed to be living in because you're going through some kind of transition in a time of your life, having kids, having an empty nest, retiring, going through a health crisis, dealing with somebody who is, that can often throw off what we thought was the meaning of our lives. If you're struggling with any of these things or just frustrated with those people in your life that are making it harder for you, we are here for you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, and if you're hearing us talk about this kind of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue thing, and you're thinking, well, that sounds kind of highfalutin, and like, you know, how's that really relate to actual life? It's the simplest thing in the world, because you're just asking yourself three questions all the time, no matter what you're facing. First question is, you know, whether I'm in a good situation or a bad situation, what can I do to make this a little bit better? What's one thing I could do to make this a little bit better for myself or others? Second question, you know, what's one thing I can do to draw a little closer to the people around me? That's the intimacy bit. And virtue, what's one small thing I could do to use this situation I'm in to grow a little bit, to become a little bit healthier or stronger? Yeah, and if we ask ourselves those questions, we're leaning into that abundant life. You know, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that and how could it possibly help me live a more abundant life? Well, you've come to the right place. You know, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having more fulfilling relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation and his work through salvation history.
The theology of the body reminds us to stop settling, to see that God wants to fulfill the deepest longings of our hearts for the love that doesn't fail, for relationships that are fulfilling, and for a life that reflects the power of God's grace. The world is broken, but God has chosen us, his children, to cooperate with his grace to make things the way God intends them to be once again. St. John Paul reminded us that we need to keep our eyes not on what we think is possible through our own power, but on what God wants to make of our lives and relationships. Our job is to stop being intimidated about how little we can change on our own power. Instead, we need to courageously lean into God's grace and the vision he has for our lives, so that we can become what he created us to be and to build the kingdom of God.
You know, but how does that fit with the idea that Christians need to die to ourselves, right? Because mm-hmm. this is a big question when we talk about pursuing an abundant life. You know, people kind of ask that. Like, well, how do I know I'm not just pushing my will. Well, dying to ourselves isn't the same thing as settling. You know, dying to ourselves means acknowledging that even though God wants to make things better, we don't know, on our own power, how to make that happen. And the more we try to improve our lives and relationships under our own power, I don't know if you noticed, but the worse things tend to get, right? Dying to ourselves then means surrendering our plans for making things better, not the God-given desire that things would be better. You know, so we do that by bringing the desire to improve our life or our relationship to God and saying, Lord, I know that you want to make more of this, whatever this is, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Teach me. Show me what you want me to do and make me willing to do it. So let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Choosing the Abundant Life. God wants to give us an abundant life, but we have to cooperate with that grace by leaning into that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue that allows us to overcome the obstacles that stand between us and the abundant life and healthier relationships God wants for us. What's frustrating you? Who or what is getting in the way of that abundant life that you'd like to have? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. We'll take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you all those situations that frustrate us, those things that make us feel stuck or tempted to settle, those times when we don't know what to do to make that change or don't know how to overcome that obstacle or convince that person to get on board. Help us to step back and to listen to your Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us step by step from where we are to a more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous life. Help us to lean into those qualities so we can cooperate with your grace to live the abundant life that you call us to live. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, choosing the abundant life. Are you feeling frustrated? What or who is getting in the way of that abundant life or relationship you'd like to have? Do you ever think, if only I could get past this hurdle, or if only I could get them to listen? We want to help you discover grace-filled ways to overcome the challenges stopping you from experiencing the more abundant life and more fulfilling relationships that God wants for you. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Bill, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Bill. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi,
Bill in Ohio.
Bill,
are you there?
Can you hear us?
All right. So the question he shared with our screener. I mean, okay. Well, we just lost Bill, but he shared with our screener that he's been involved in a faith journey, and he said that his spouse is supporting him in this, but he'd like to get her involved. Should he ask her? I think you dropped off, if you want to call in with any more details, we'd be happy to hear from you. But we can take it from what you shared. Yeah, absolutely, you should ask her. Now, the question is, how do you ask her? Right? Because clearly you guys aren't in the same place spiritually. I'm glad to hear that she's supporting you in that journey. And I understand why you'd be concerned about asking, because, you know, we don't want to shove our faith or our beliefs down, you know, anybody else's throat.
Or make them run away because of the way we ask. Things like that are often going through our heads when we want to share something with our spouse.
At the same time, you know, when you love somebody, you want to work for their ultimate good. That's what loving somebody means, to choose to work for their ultimate good. And, you know, inviting your wife to share in your spiritual journey, to share in your walk, to draw closer to the Lord, is working for her ultimate good. Now, you can't force her to do it, and you shouldn't try. But what I would like you to do is to approach her and say, hey, honey, you know, I know we're not necessarily in the same place, and I'm not really expecting you to necessarily be in the same place, but I'd love to be able to share these experiences with you so we could kind of talk about it together and grow together and sort of learn from each other. And so even if, you know, you're not in the same place that I am, if we could go through some of these things together and really talk about it and share it, I would really value your insight and your input and your conversation. I'd love to be able to talk through this with you and just kind of see where God's leading us.
And Bill, what I really want to encourage you to take to prayer is, and only you know the state of your relationship with your wife at this point, but if she's supporting you in this already, I'm assuming that it's a decent relationship, that you've got a lot of things that are working on the same page. I think it would be a beautiful thing for you to say to her, honey, I love you. We have all this great stuff going on in our lives. We talk about, you know, things of interest. We share a good life together. But I want to go deeper. I want to know your whole heart. I want us to share a spiritual life that causes us to become more intimate and loving of each other, that makes us even better spouses to one another, that allows me to take care of your soul as well as your body and your mind. I just want to be closer to you. And I find that I'm learning more about myself. I'm having a richer experience in my life with what I'm learning. And I really would love for us to be able to share this together in some way. Is there a way you would be comfortable starting that journey in some way with me? Because you don't want it to come off. You never want, when you're sharing your faith with somebody, to make it sound like you suddenly have all the answers, that they are somehow wrong or bad in their lives. We're all dealing with enough of our own struggle and guilt. So when somebody comes at us in that way, it can turn us off. It can scare us. But most spouses, if they're working in a pretty good relationship, would welcome the invitation to deeper intimacy with their spouse. Again, it's the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. And you just say to her, I want to go deeper with you, and I would love for you to tell me how you'd be willing to do that in a spiritual way.
Last point, and then we'll wrap up. I would also like, I'll say this, and then I'll give a qualifier. I would also, you know, when we encounter the faith, you know, it's important not to make it like a subject. Like, you know, I want to learn this subject and share this knowledge with you. It's a relationship, right? It's a relationship with God that helps us learn to love more and love more deeply. And so I would really like you to kind of look at the things that your wife has asked you to do in the past, the things that aren't immoral or demeaning anyway, but just have been outside your comfort zone. So you've either resisted it or not done them, or just sort of passively, aggressively forgotten about it. I'd like you to just make a list of those things and start praying about asking God to help you be that husband for your wife. And I want you to share with, and I want you to do those things. And when she says to you, how come you're doing these things all of a sudden? There's something different about you. You can say, you know, the closer I've drawn to God, the more I feel him challenging me to love you more. And I just do. And I've been really wanting to share that love with you. That's how we evangelize. And I don't want you to do it to evangelize. I want you to do it because it's coming from an honest place.
Very important point.
But it will evangelize her, because she'll see that she's getting the husband she always wanted. Not that you're a bad guy or anything like that, but we all love our comfort zones more than we love each other, right? So God challenges us to overcome that. So use your increasing faith to challenge you to love your wife better with God's love, not just with your broken human love. And the more you can do that, the more she's going to see there's something real about this spiritual journey that you're on that she's going to want to share in. So take these suggestions to heart, pray about them, and by all means, yes, absolutely ask her in the ways that we described here, because that's what love is, working for the ultimate good of the other person. And there's no way to better work for the ultimate good of another person than to witness and share the gospel with them and invite them into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Thanks for the question. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show today, Choosing the Abundant Life. We're talking about overcoming those frustrations in your life or relationships that are stopping you from feeling like you're living that abundant life God's calling you to. Let's talk about how to overcome those hurdles coming up right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here. We're going to Normandy, France in November to celebrate the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We'll also be in Paris for the opening of the resurrected Notre Dame Cathedral. Join us on a pilgrimage of discovery through the saints and shrines of France. Catherine Laborier and the Miraculous Medal, St. Therese of Lisieux, the Incorrupt Body of Vincent de Paul, a dinner cruise through Paris on the Seine River, and so much more.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession, and when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today's show is titled Choosing the Abundant Life, as we talk about overcoming those frustrations that you feel because of the obstacles standing between you and that more satisfying life or fulfilling relationship that you want. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Barbara, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a lot of those obstacles and hurdles, I guess. But I retired back in May of last year, and looking forward to, you know, like traveling and things with my husband, who was already retired. And about that time, my mom started having some serious health issues and needing lots of care. And both my siblings still are employed. And then I found out I have an autoimmune disease. So that started to be a lot of, you know, things that I need to take, make sure I'm taking care of myself.
Sure.
And, my daughter is separated from her husband, and her and my grandson live in the basement. And she's helpful in ways with my mom, because my mom is starting to live with me because she literally needs help, just to someone to take her to the bathroom. You know, it's just become major. And my siblings help me. One helps me much better than the other. And I have to arrange someone every time I need personal care and, you know, go to the grocery, almost everything. And I feel like I'm a strong person, and I can have hard conversations if I need to, you know, to ask for help. But I, you know, I want to make sure that I prioritize it right. It's sort of like the big picture view is what I'm looking at, that I don't let myself get lost in the middle. But I also don't require, you know, more of people around me than they are able to give, you know. I'm looking maybe for the balance, you know, that I don't leave my husband behind either, you know, in the process, you know, because he's sacrificing, you know, because of my mom and the situation. And, you know, it's just... was a lot.
Talk to me a little bit about how, and I'm going to keep you over the break because we're going to run into our hard break here in about a minute and a half. But help me understand how are you making these decisions right now? The different things that you're, you know, taking on or having to take, like, how do you decide that? Or do you just sort of feel, you know, this is my obligation?
Moved in. Well, you know, she started to fall a lot, so I'm like, she can't stay by herself, you know? And she was due for a surgery that we hoped would improve her mobility, so, you know, I didn't want to just put her in a home, you know? And when my daughter moved in, we have, like, it's not a, really an apartment, but we have, you know, like, a living, almost a full living space in the basement with a, you know, a bathroom, so that was okay. But, like, she brought a dog, and the dog ended up just being more trouble than it was worth. And I had to just say, your dog can't stay. You know, you have to. First I said, you know, if the dog doesn't get some training, it can't stay. And then a month went by and no training. And I'm like, your dog is going to have to leave, you know. And she didn't argue with me. She said, I respect that. You know, so I've had to have certain, you know, choices that have to be for the betterment of all, you know. And I'm learning as I go, like, what help I need from my siblings. And my brother might come up on a weeknight, but I might not actually need that. You know, what I'd like is maybe a weekend off. But
so when I asked you, though, how you make these decisions, and I'm sorry to interrupt, because I'm going to just try to squeeze in this one more question before they send us to break. How are you and your husband kind of praying about how to respond to all of this? And if so, how?
I would tell you no, because my husband doesn't know how to have conversation. You don't know how
In general. All right, well, we're going to ask you to hang on over the break, and we'll come back with some suggestions for how to move forward with this. But Barbara, you have a beautiful heart, and you're really trying hard, I know, to do what God is calling you to do in this situation, but you're feeling overwhelmed. We're going to help you make some sense out of all this and try to give you some principles moving forward. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We have to remember that God gave us a brain, and he did give us talented people in the medical field, some of whom, not all unfortunately, are following the science. And we need to do the same. We need to take precautions and, again, use common sense and our heads. But we can't go around living in fear, not doing what we are called to do. And in many cases, that is to travel, to go see loved ones, to go on a retreat, to maybe go on a pilgrimage. We have to be, at all times, a people of faith. And we have to remember that the phrase, "be not afraid," appears some 365 times in Scripture. Coincidence? I think not.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Did you know that up to 20% of Americans suffer from serious levels of anxiety? We all feel anxious from time to time, but when anxiety starts harming our health, relationships, or everyday activities, it's probably time to seek some advice. The good news is that anxiety wasn't part of God's blueprint for the human person. It's just one of many symptoms of a world broken by sin. And just as God wants to liberate each of us from sin and death, he wants to free each of us from unhealthy worry and anxiety too. St. Francis de Sales, for example, battled anxiety as a young man. Later in life, he wrote that, quote, "anxiety is the greatest evil that can befall a soul except sin," unquote. But with God's help, he overcame his anxiety and went on to become one of the church's greatest spiritual teachers. Even though anxiety disorders have complex physical, psychological, and spiritual causes, God literally created us with the capacity to live in His peace, not just in the next life, but right now. To learn more about God's promise of peace, check out my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And if you'd like more grace-filled assistance in your battle against fear, worry, or anxiety, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Choosing the Abundant Life, as we talk about those times when we feel frustrated and, you know, we're tempted to settle. What are the things that are coming between you and the changes that you'd like to make in your life or relationships? You know, have you ever been in a situation where you're feeling like, if I could just get past this, or if I could only get them to listen? We want to help you break through those barriers and start living the abundant life and more fulfilling relationships God wants for you. 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Barbara, who was calling from Ohio. She recently retired, and her husband is retired as well, and they were hoping to, you know, spend time together and travel. But then her mother started having health issues. She found that she was having an autoimmune disease. Her daughter moved in with her child into their basement. And that's just kind of the start of it, right? It's just lots and lots and lots of things. And she's asking, you know, how can I be generous as I want to be and as God is calling me to be, and attend to the needs of the people that I love, but still have time to take care of my own health, to be there for my marriage, and kind of have that healthy balance. Barbara, is that a fair summary of what you were asking us?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. Thanks for hanging on. So I have some thoughts I just wanted to share with you. So first of all, On that practical front, you know, there are kind of two ways we're going to look at this. The first one is just, you know, you seem to be, for whatever, on an emotional level, feeling like you have to be the one who's doing all the things. You know, I guess I'm wondering, you know, for example, you know, you were talking about needing to go to the grocery store. You know, give yourself the option of having those groceries delivered. You know, that's a thing now, you know. You know, your daughter is living in your basement. She ought to be helping more with your mom, and she's receptive when you, for example, when you set down that boundary about she needed to get rid of the dog because it was more trouble. She agreed with you. I want to challenge you to ask for more help, and you know, really, you know, allow yourself to be vulnerable in that way.
I want you to ask yourself, what inside of you, what about your life prior to this is making you think that all of this, every single bit of it, not just making sure your mom's okay, but all that minutiae stuff you talked about, all the errands that run with this, all the time you're putting into this, why do you have to be the savior here? Why are you the one this all falls to? The second thing I want to ask yourself is, by doing all of this, what are you protecting yourself from? Why is all of this serving you in some way? Because when we get ourselves into these situations where we just accept that it's ours to carry and nobody else should even really be encouraged to help, and not in a meaningful way, what are we protecting ourselves from? Is it keeping you from having to go deeper with your husband who doesn't, you said, not really, not able to have a conversation? If all of this hadn't happened, your illness, your mother's illness, your daughter's divorce, if all of this hadn't happened, what would you be doing in your retirement right now? Would you be saying, hey, honey, we really need to get into counseling because I want to be able to have good conversations with you. I want to be able to pray with you and have a deeper spiritual life with you. Would you be doing certain things for yourself that you were longing to do? But now you're continuing to serve everybody else. You served everything and everybody while you were working. And now, because of this series of circumstances, you're not even seeing the forest for the trees. So as Greg was saying, you have to be the one to do all the grocery shopping for everybody? No. That can be a conversation over dinner one night. Okay, guys, you know, we have next week's shopping coming up. Let's make a list of everything we want, pick 7 meals that we want, write the list, and then daughter, you're going to get on and order it all from the grocery store and either go and pick it up or have it delivered and put it away, because she can do some of those things. Your husband can also do some of those things.
And he's retired now too, right? So he's got time to do these things.
And you just seem to be avoiding asking him to do things. Your siblings, oh, well, your brother comes on a weeknight. Barbara, if that's not working for you, you call a Zoom meeting with all of your siblings and you say, these are the times and dates that I need somebody helping mom. Whether it's taking her to appointments or getting you and your husband a date night out weekly, getting yourself a break where you go out and treat yourself to something, because that will help your physical health as well. It's time to take enough direction over this in everybody else's life that you stop taking the cross of it all on yourself when it's not all your cross to bear.
Yeah, there's so much I want to share with you here. I mean, and you have a beautiful heart. I mean, this
beautiful
is all coming
heart.
From a really good place, right? You want to be generous. You want to be there for the people that you love.
But you're
that's
harming
a good thing
yourself
to
in the process.
Yeah. One of the insights from the theology of the body, and Pope Benedict talks about this too in Caritatis et Veritatem, the truth and love, where we talk about the importance of not just being loving, but loving responsibly. You know, Love and Responsibility was a book that St. John Paul wrote before The Theology of the Body. And it really talks about this idea that in order for love to be loving, it has to be responsible. In other words, it has to work not just for the good of the other, but for my good too. And I have to make sure that whatever choices I'm making are really ordered toward my ultimate good and your ultimate good. One of the reasons I asked you how you're praying about this was because if we just go with what our gut says, we can sometimes either fall into the, you know, trap of being too selfish and not giving enough, but sometimes we can fall into the trap of giving in ways that aren't healthy for either us or others.
And sometimes those unhealthy choices come from past wounds. So if I do all of this, people will be pleased with me and I will finally get their affirmation. If I do all this, the reverse of that is I can keep people at arm's length, so I don't have to go any deeper with them.
Or if I do all this, I can be safe, you know, because I have to be in control in order to stay safe.
I don't have to trust God to do any of it or go deeper with him.
I'm not saying any of these things are true for you, okay?
But these are questions we all have to ask ourselves, because we all sometimes make decisions based on reflex, emotional reflex, rather than discernment.
Yeah, and so that's why it's important to pray about this stuff and not just do what comes naturally because it seems like the generous thing to do, but to really step back and say, okay, Lord, you know, here are the needs, right? I have this disease that I need to manage. We're in the stage where, you know, of life where I had these plans with my husband, and now these, you know, all these other challenges. Show me how to respond to them in a way that enables me to glorify you, enables me to be my best self and take care of what I need to take care of, and enables me to bring out the best in those I love. And when you're praying about that every day and really reflecting on that, it helps you to have a healthier balance. I want to share something else about kind of the order of things, too, in just a second.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about that myself. And my reflection on that, Barbara, is you have to remember what should come first. So your prayer life, your relationship with God has to come first. And I'm not talking about you cloistering yourself away and doing 29 novenas a day. I'm talking about you constantly talking to God, you setting some time with God to just have a conversation in some kind of quiet every day, perhaps journaling that out so you can really see your feelings and needs on the page. Secondly, your sacrament with your husband. That is what you made your promises for. That's the sacrament you're living. If that is not going as well as you want, if he can't have real conversations with you, if he doesn't pray with you, you really need to be giving your time and energy to building that relationship next. Then the other people in your life who need you can have their needs met as long as they're also being self-donative in some way. And I realize your mother's having health issues, but even she can probably, you know, do some things to help out around the house or ease your burden.
And, you know, you said that you know, your mom's deteriorating in health and you wouldn't want to stick her in a home. I mean, nobody's suggesting that you warehouse your mom. But as part of discerning how we take care of other people, we need to make sure that we are putting them in the taking care of them in the way that best serves their needs. You know, it's lovely for me to be able to say, I would like to be able to take care of my mom. But if my mom has medical needs or physical needs that I can't adequately or I can't as adequately respond to as, for example, a nurse or, you know, a facility that specializes in those things, it would be wrong for me to keep her from that level of care. That doesn't mean I can't be there a good chunk of the day visiting and making sure that everything is going well, but I don't have to be the one doing it all, especially if I'm not physically capable of doing it all or, you know, in terms of my expertise, being able to know what to do.
Well, also, and taking into account the fact that she might need more socialization than she's getting just stuck at home with, you know, their family unit. The way it is. There's only so much we can give each other. So actually having a real conversation with her about where she'd want to be.
Or what she needs.
And what she needs. Those are two different parts of the same conversation. But it's time to stop saying, okay, I'll pick it up and carry it. I'll pick it up and carry it. I'll pick it up and carry it. Not everything needs to be picked up and carried by you in the way you're picking it up and carrying.
Last point, and then we got to let you go. You know, in the Theology of the Body, St. John Paul talks about two ways to be generous. The first way to be generous is by, well, being generous, doing things for others. And it makes us feel good to be able to do that, right? We talked about meaningfulness throughout the show, the idea that I can use my gifts and abilities to make a positive difference. And so when you are being generous to others, God is giving you a gift back by helping you feel good about being able to make a difference. But the other way to being generous is to give others the opportunity to serve us, because that gives them that feeling of being able to use their gifts to bless us and help us to lead healthier, more balanced lives. And both of those things are generous. And of course, there needs to be a balance, and that's one of the other reasons we need to pray about how do I do that. But we at least want to give people the opportunity, you know. So ask for the help. Say, I could really use you to come over on this time, or I really need your help with this, or I could really use talking through this to make a plan. Don't just assume it all has to be up to you. That is not the generosity that God calls us to. He calls us to love and be generous responsibly in ways that glorify Him. Work for our ultimate good and the ultimate good of those around us, which includes asking them to help, because when we're not allowing other people to help, we're not actually working for their good, because we're denying them the ability or the opportunity to use their gifts to be a blessing to others as well. Barbara, lots of things to consider here. Thank you so much for your call. Again, you have a beautiful heart. Your heart's absolutely in the right place, but I would really just challenge you to be praying more about how to be responsibly loving and generous, and not cut out the opportunity for other people to serve you as well. Thanks for the call. And with that, we have to go to break. So as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day that comes to us from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11.
Know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and give you hope and a future.
You know, and again, you know, sometimes we feel guilty for wanting more from a relationship or wanting more from life. And of course, again, we were saying earlier, we're not talking about prosperity gospel here or trying to manifest things. We're talking about recognizing that our Heavenly Father wants to give us good things. He wants to give us the best in terms of relationship, in terms of fulfillment, in terms of, well, meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. And when we feel frustrated, we want to resist that temptation to either give up and just say, well, I guess this is all I'm going to get, or plow ahead with our own plan, trying to fix it all ourselves. In both cases, we need to do what we were just talking about with Barbara. Step back and say, okay, Lord, I have this desire on my heart for a deeper relationship, for a more fulfilling life, for you name it. But I don't know how to get there. If this isn't from you, take it away. But if it is from you, and this feeling still remains, this desire is still there, I have to assume it's from you. So show me, teach me step by step how to get from where I am to where you want me to be. and make me open to your will. And we pray that every minute of the day while we're still reflecting on that desire and asking God to show us. And that's how we start leaning into the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue that leads us to a more abundant life and relationships. Well, that sounds good in theory, but you're not sure how to apply it in your situation. Give us a call. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Italy aficionado Teresa Tomeo's newest book is now out on the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Teresa Tomeo provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how to best to soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Italy's Shrines and Wonders from Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo, can be purchased at AveMariaRadio.net. When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, the show is titled Choosing the Abundant Life, as we talk about how we can cooperate with God's grace to satisfy the desires of our hearts for a deeper relationship, for changes in our life. If you're feeling frustrated and not quite sure how to break through those barriers, give us a call. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, I want to get to a message from Nina, who's listening to EWTN Radio on Ave Maria Radio in Michigan. And she said, I'm at work and listening in my AirPods. My boss doesn't know. But listening to your last caller makes me understand that maybe I'm doing something wrong in terms of everything that I'm carrying as well. I feel like everything in our family life is up to me. My husband has a good job and provides for our family. But everything about the kids, the house, and our marital relationship is up to me. Now, part of that is because I am really good at running the house and taking care of our three kids who are 2, 3, and 5. So maybe he doesn't think that I need help, but I really do. And when I ask him for help, he says, just tell me what to do. And I just want him to plan things for the family, for us as, or for us as a couple, and to give me a break from all of the work and thinking about everything that needs to be done. How do I get this to happen when he doesn't seem to have a clue?
All right, great question, and I want to thank you, Nina, thank you for writing in. So I'd like you to have a conversation with your husband about emotional labor. Here's what I mean by that. So a lot of men in particular, people in general, but men in particular, even kids in general, they think that they're, quote-unquote, helping by doing whatever you tell me to do. Like, and if you know, you complain, then it's like, what are you upset about? I did everything you asked me to do. And then you can feel guilty because, well, he's doing everything I asked him to do. Why am I not happy?
It's also what brings about the, but he didn't do it right, or they didn't do it right, because if they have to ask you what to do, then you expect him to do it the way you would do it, and it gets very weighty.
So the thing that people don't appreciate, and this is what I want you to have the conversation with your husband about, and or you know what, download the podcast later and play this as a way of introducing the topic, is that doing the thing is about 10% of the job. So when somebody does what you ask them to do, that's about 10% of the job. Now, what does that mean? Well, the other parts of the job are recognizing that the job has to be done, gathering the resources to get the job done, making a plan to get the job done, making sure that it got done, making sure afterward that it stays done. You know, there are a lot of tabs that have to stay open in our brain to get a thing done. And just doing what somebody asked you to do is all of about 10% of any job. The other 90% is the emotional labor that goes into making the plan, carving out the time, gathering the resources, following up, and all of those things. And that's why you're exhausted, you know, even though your husband is doing everything you asked him to do. And so I'd like you to have that conversation with him, because I'd like to assume that he's a good guy and he loves you, but it's just, this is a blind spot. Because this is a blind spot that a lot of people have, men in particular. But when the light bulb goes off and you know, we're able to see that, oh, you know, so that's why just doing what you tell me to do isn't making you happy, then that can often get us to clue in a little bit more. I'd like you to start there. Now, if that doesn't work, if you still get pushback, then that might be a respect issue. And what I mean by that is that in some relationships, you know, where respect is failing, I don't believe that you have a right to have a concern unless I want to agree with it. And I'm not going to agree with it because it would inconvenience me to do so. And if that's the dynamic that you have in the relationship, then there's a deeper issue there that we would need to talk through. But I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and start with this conversation about emotional labor.
And when you have this conversation about emotional labor, explain or listen to the podcast together or explain what this means. But also don't make him have to guess at this point. Have family meetings. What needs to get done this week? Grocery shopping, making a meal plan, the laundry has to be done on these particular days. It's not about you do this, I'll do this, I'll do, you know, I'll do this other thing, dividing and conquering. It's about laying out the bigger picture of what needs to be done, then having a conversation about who can do what this week, and then letting him become in charge of that stuff that he says he can do, and begin to evolve on his own.
So talking through this, I would say every day.
You know, yeah, what, definitely, you know, so, have so to revisit it every day.
The night before, the morning of, whatever. But talking every day. So what's going on tomorrow? Let's make a plan for how we're going to get done with this, and involve him in making the plan for the day. And he can share with you things that are important, you know, for him too, and start being better partners to each other, instead of just sort of having this idea that we're going to divide and conquer things. You know, in this Catholic vision of love, we're really called to be partners to each other and working together to use all the stuff of marriage and family life to grow in intimacy. Dividing and conquering, you know, it works okay as far as it goes, but it seems like you're past that point, and it's time to really be a little more vulnerable with each other and be better partners to each other.
And to ask him to get all his senses involved in doing the task of being your husband and father. Do you look stressed? Is there a diaper that doesn't smell right? Is he seeing the laundry piling up? Does the bathroom look like it needs to be picked up? Ask him to start really participating with his eyes, his ears, his nose, and his whole being to be able to be that partner for you as well.
Because that's what ultimately will help you share the emotional labor more as partners, as opposed to, you know, him just sort of ignoring that 90% of the job and doing what you've asked him to do. I want to thank you so much for the question, Nina, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. You know, the big takeaway from the show is this idea, you know, we talk about living an abundant life. What it really means is, number one, stepping back and saying, Lord, how do you want me to respond to this? You know, not going with what our gut says, but checking our gut against what God might be leading us to. And then, in that sense of prayer, leaning into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. How can I use my gifts to make a positive difference in the situation? How can I grow closer to the people around me? And how can I use whatever's happening as an opportunity to become a stronger, healthier, godlier person? If you're looking for help to make those things happen, I invite you to come on over and visit us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor who can help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that God's grace gives us the ability to have so much more to life.
Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.